This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I am your host, Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. Michael, sorry we missed each other last week, but I was out on tour. Did you miss me?
You were gone. That's right. I was wondering what was going on with that. Yeah. Yeah, of course I missed you, Chris. You know, I consider you the iWorks of Mickey Miles and More.
I'm the behind-the-scenes guy while you take all the credit and respect.
Yeah, you develop the, you draw the mouse and you...
And you make all the money.
And I make all the money and then I kick you out. And that reminds me, Michelle and I were listening to an audiobook about that. It's called The Most Divided. Mm-hmm. It's written by, I think the guy's name was Ryan. And anyways, one of the interesting things about that is that at the point where UB and Walt separated, there was an agreement where UB said he, you know, he divests himself of any stock or anything he had in Disney.
Right.
And the author said that if he had kept that, whatever it was, 5% share of Walt Disney, he would be worth $20 billion today.
Yeah. Yeah. That was you wonder sometimes what makes people do that. Cause there are people who sold their Apple stock in the beginning, you know, and then they could have made billions. And I don't know. I mean, I guess at the time they needed the money, but they even say he was the one who created Mickey Mouse. Like Walt was just like, oh, we should do a mouse. And, you know, UB was the one that drew it.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things that Walt Disney autograph, that's really not his either. You know, it's called a Waltograph. I guess they call it a Waltograph.
Usually when
marketing.
Yeah. As time goes on, they create, you know, these stamps or whatever, these machines that will just do the sign, you know, sign for the person.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, whatever. Yeah. It's probably worth something to somebody. But all right. So tell me, as we said, as always on the show, I don't know what's going on going in. Mike, you have planned these shows and I let you go forward and tell me what's going on. So tell me what's going on.
So we usually do news and then we have a little the body of the show and then we have tips at the end. But in thinking about what is probably a timely thing to talk about today, everything kind of melts into one another. It's sort of a melting pot. So as we get into the show, you'll understand what I mean by melting pot. But let's start off with the news.
Yeah, bring it on.
And
by the way, I'm going to put a lozenge in because I've done nothing but talk for the last 2 weeks. So my throat, my voice is gone. So I sound like I have a DJ voice going here.
An FM voice.
There you go.
So I looked at, you know, what would be of most interest to our listeners. And here's what I found out. So we're waiting for December 5th at 9:30 p.m. because that will be the debut of the new Epcot World Showcase Lagoon Nighttime Spectacular. And it's called Luminous, the Symphony of Us. So we know it's going to make its debut on December 5th.
Okay.
Disney has been somewhat tight-lipped regarding what it is actually going to be. But I dug up a couple of bits of information. Number one, the hardware is all in place.
Do you mean say that the tacos and the, what was that circle thing called? It was,
Stargate,
the Stargate are gone. Are they out of the water?
From what I have gleaned some of the things I've seen is that it's gone. And in the middle of the World Showcase Lagoon, I think from what I saw, there's going to be some kind of a special fountain with lights and all kinds of things going on.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Before Epcot was ever built, SeaWorld had a attraction that dealt with water and lights and music. And I'm wondering if Disney stole that from them and decided to expand it. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a large fountain in the middle of World Showcase Lagoon with little fountains around it. And one of the things that I thought of, Chris, when I saw this artist concept is that unlike, I forgot what it was called already.
See, we got the senior moments every single time.
What is it called? What was it called with Stargate? I forgot what it was called.
Oh, Harmonious.
Harmonious. God, I forgot it already.
Oh my gosh.
You had to be either standing in World Showcase Lagoon Plaza, or you had to be standing in front of probably the American Adventure.
Yeah.
Head on so you could see Stargate and everything. But in this case, it looks like it doesn't matter where you are around World Showcase Lagoon.
Yeah. That was the big sticking point, was just there was no clear way to view it other than those two spots, and it was frustrating, you know?
Very frustrating, but you know, although it was frustrating, I thought that the audio, the soundtrack was pretty good, and they just couldn't figure out how to marry the audio with the visual. I did see a quote from Disney saying that that Luminous, the Symphony of Us, will be a, quote, pageant of fireworks, fountains, music, and lights set to an original composition. It also went on to say that new music, along with the evocative selections from the Disney songbook, come together to, and here's the theme, ready? They will come together to remind us we are more alike than we are different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, because now I'm thinking, okay, what songs would reflect that theme? So that's what's coming December 5th. So we're about a little bit over a month away.
A good theme.
Yeah.
I like the theme.
Yeah, I think so.
I like the idea of bringing people together.
Halloween is coming up. Happy Halloween for those people who are listening to us on Halloween. And I noticed a couple of things going on that I never noticed before in Walt Disney World. And I thought, well, if there's someone who's going to be down there, even locals who listen to us, they may be curious to know what's going on. First off, we're recording this, I think, on the 26th of October. So from the October 26th to November 2nd, they are doing some kind of a closure at Fort Wilderness. And you would have to be a day guest that is there from being invited by a registered guest to get in. So you cannot, so the day guests are not allowed in Fort Wilderness from the 26th to November 2nd. Of course, you'll be able to go in if you have a Hoop-Dee-Doo reservation, but that's, I forget the name of the Crockett's Tavern reservation, but just thought I'd let everyone know that they have these little things going on for Halloween at Fort Wilderness. And I never knew this before. I've never been down there at Halloween. They have a Halloween golf cart extravaganza. They have golf carts that they decorate for Halloween. Now, I've been down there for the July 4th golf cart extravaganza, and they give prizes and everything. So that would be cool if you can get to Fort Wilderness on the 30th, which would be Monday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, the 30th of October. They're also holding a pumpkin decorating contest, which is pretty cool. They have what they're calling a Halloween beach bash on Monday, the 30th of October from 7 to 10:30. And they're saying it's going to be a wickedly fun Halloween celebration filled with activities, including a DJ, competitions for guests of all ages. They will have a costume contest this year, which is brand new. And that will conclude with fireworks viewing at 10:15. So they're doing that. And on Halloween, of course, there will be trick or treat, but they call it camp or treat. And that's going to be held from 6 to 9:30 on Halloween. So anybody's down there, you know, think about going to Fort Wilderness.
So have you ever been down there during Halloween?
I have been in Disney Land. I have been in Florida on Halloween. I don't believe I've been in Disney World on Halloween night. I have not.
I'm just wondering, because we've gone around the Christmas time period and people will decorate their hotel room doors for the holiday. I'm wondering if people do that during Halloween, or do they, you know, decorate it somehow, or I just thought it was one of those things that people do. And I'm sure you, since you're not down there, you haven't seen it, but
I'll bet they do. They do it. They do it on the cruise ships. When you walk through the hallways of the cruise ships, there are people who will decorate their doors. So,
yeah,
you know, it's fun. So I think it's a fun holiday. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Moving on. For a while there, the Festival of Fantasy Parade at Magic Kingdom was just having one performance, but they're going to go back to two showings.
Okay.
November 9th through December 2nd, they will be having two performances. One will be at noon and one will be at 3 o'clock. So two performances, but unfortunately still no nighttime parade returning to the Magic Kingdom.
So. Stick it in your craw, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been to what they call Jollywood Nights at Disney's Hollywood Studios, but, I thought
Jollywood Nights.
Jollywood Nights at Disney's never Hollywood Studios starts on November 11th. So Christmas starts on November 11th.
Yeah.
They do a couple things.
It started in my supermarket already. So I don't know what you're stressing about.
Christmas. That's true. Yeah.
I've already seen all the products with the Santas on it and the snowflakes and the,
oh yeah. I saw a 20-foot Christmas tree in Home Depot, I think, the other day. Like
here
that.
We go. It's already,
this Jollywood Nights has a lot of things going for it. They have a variety show in Theater of the Stars where they, currently do Frozen Snow. That's where the Beauty and the Beast show has been. They're going to have some kind of it's called Disney Holidays in Hollywood, and it's going to be a variety show, and it's probably going to be pretty close to what used to be in the Magic Kingdom on Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party way back in Tomorrowland. I'm thinking it's going to be similar to that show. What's interesting is that in the Hyperion Theater, which is the theater where you have the Frozen sing-along, they're holding something called, this is exactly what the title is, What's This? Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas Sing-Along. So
what is this?
I don't know that many songs from The Nightmare Before Christmas. So
I've heard it's a really good soundtrack. A lot of people like it. I have to get back to that. I keep buying soundtracks, and I want to buy that one. I have all the other animated Disney soundtracks. I should get that one.
I remember the one, What's This? Da, 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 something like that. But
really? Anyways, how's it go? Okay.
So, that's another thing they're having that night. They're also going to have a DJ probably in front of Mickey and Minnie's Railway. They're doing something interesting for that party, and it's a party. It's a separate ticketed event. They're having just a virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance, because if they didn't, then you would be limited to one trip through that attraction. So they're making that well known that that guests can enter the virtual queue. Well, actually, they can enter the virtual queue once,
right,
during the event. On Sunset Boulevard against the Tower of Terror, I believe they will have this Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam fireworks show. We'll see. I mean, I've seen it on, I don't know if I've seen it in person. I might have. I think I have. I wasn't that impressed with it. Anyways, that's for that particular party. By the way, the tickets are between $159 and $179 a person, depending upon when you go. My guess is that the $179 starts December. So,
by the way, we didn't get back to this. I was away during this. Did I hear something where they've stopped the reservation system or changed it now, like where you don't have to wait till 2 o'clock to park jump?
We will cover that on the show.
Oh, see, this is what happens when I don't know what's going on.
What did I say? Melting pot.
Okay, we're getting there. Got it.
Sticking with the Christmas stuff. Something very interesting. This year, they will not have those LED lights hanging off the castle this year. They had over 2,000 of them, I guess, those LED lights.
Yeah.
To make it look like it was frozen. Because they've got they're going to have a new nighttime show. It's called Frozen Holiday Surprise.
And, plus, isn't it easier if they just had the projection system anyway? They could just project the ice crystals.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to, it's a new projection show. And my guess is that they may have tried the projection show somehow in another place. They may have a test site where they had the those lights, and maybe it didn't work with the lights. And my guess would be that sounds right because they just reflect back. So that's a new projection show. It's called Frozen.
And they can hold it with anything. They could just project it as Frozen for an hour until, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's probably a cost effective and much easier way to decorate the castle versus like lights and having to like put scaffolding up and ruin it for everybody's photo when they go down there. So
and they do a good job with the mapping. So I think that's a good thing. Finally, you know, sticking with the fireworks, during the 50th celebration, they had something called Disney Enchantment Fireworks on the Magic Kingdom. And then that was taken away recently, and Happily Ever After was brought back. And but that's going to return for a couple of months, starting on January 11th, going through April. But is that caveat? Yeah. It's only going to be during Disney After Hours, which is another separate ticketed event that guests can purchase a separate ticket, anywhere from $145 to $175 for 3 extra hours in the Magic Kingdom.
Look, I'm telling you, people are paying it. They're going to do it, so they can get away with it.
During those extra hours, Tron will not have a virtual queue, but just a standby queue. So,
okay.
A couple more things, Chris. These are important things. The parking fees in the parking lots have gone up.
Oh.
So besides paying an arm and a leg just to get in, it's $30 to park now in a Disney theme park parking lot, unless you are a theme park guest or an annual pass holder.
Hmm.
So just that. And let's see.
Hey, they got
the last bit of news.
Yes.
Is it involves my Disney experience. And you know, for those who haven't been to Disney in a long time, you know, and who have never been there, the first thing that a travel agent will tell you when they hear that you would like to go on a Disney vacation is download My Disney Experience, set up an account. And it's important to do a lot of things, planning and making reservations, and especially dining reservations. And they've gone through a recent upgrade with the dining part of the My Disney Experience app, and they're going to do another upgrade. And these are changes which I think a lot of people will like. The previous upgrade now allows anyone who has a My Disney account to go in there and they can see all the available reservation time slots for each restaurant on a given date, which is fine.
Yeah.
However, this stuff even better now. Now they're going to add, and I think this is coming in December and or January, you will be able to get notifications for fully booked restaurants, and they will also give you the ability to search a date range for reservations. So let me explain. You will be able to set up alerts for when an availability opens up at a restaurant that shows no availability now. So let's say you and I wanted to go to
Viennapoli
tomorrow at 2:00. And I looked for it. Oh, it's all booked, but I can set up an alert, say, let me know when there's an opening. And so that's pretty cool. I think
that's much better than guessing all the time. We used to do that all the time. Is if we realized we wanted to go eat and you kind of scramble around to try and find something, or you would call up the services and say, what do you have available? Like it's great that they can actually let you know when something opens up.
Yeah. It says that they'll send you an alert via My Disney Experience when a reservation opens up, and then you would book it the usual way.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we got to book ours for Marathon Weekend. We're way behind.
Yeah, you should. They also say that in this upcoming update, you'll be able to choose a date range that allow you to specify a start and end date for your trip, and the system will identify when that restaurant is available during that time frame. That's pretty cool.
So if you say you want to go to Viennapoli at some point during your trip, but everything seems to be blocked out, when you're in there, it'll let you know when something opens. That's a smart.
Yeah, that's better than now, because now you have to manually search through each individual date. So
yeah.
So that's all the news that's fit to be printed, I guess.
All right. I like it. Now, all right. So what? Let's get to the main event.
Okay. You were talking about park reservations and stuff like that and tickets. And I thought that it would be a good thing to talk about what's going on now, what's going to happen, so that hopefully I can explain it so that people won't be as confused as I was before I read it over and over and over again. Okay. So this involves park reservations and tickets.
Got
so for anyone going to the Walt Disney World Resort from now through January 8th, and when is the
race is on the 7th.
Okay.
Well, so the marathon is on the 7th, I believe.
All right. So this is,
so it's like the Monday after.
Okay. So this might be interesting for you, especially if you're going to be there after January 8th. So anyways, excuse me, the visits now through January 8th, you're going to be required to obviously have a theme park reservation for the first Walt Disney World theme park you want to visit each day. Okay.
Got it.
And after 2 o'clock, you can visit any park after that.
Which is the way it's been going the last few years. Yep.
Right. Okay. Now, starting on January 9th, you will not be required to have a theme park reservation if you are a guest with a regular ticket. Now, what is a regular ticket? A ticket is a date-based ticket. So nowadays, I know this because my daughter did this last year. You can buy a date-based ticket that says, I am going to be going to the theme parks between this date and that date. And so that is put in your Disney experience, and then they figure out, depending upon the date, how much you're going to be charged for the ticket. And that also puts you in a certain category that says, okay, Chris has tickets for this date to this date, so he doesn't have to worry about making a reservation because he's a day guest. He's a day ticket guest. Okay. So there you go. That's starting January 9th. It gets complicated. If you are a guest with a park hopper ticket or an annual pass, you'll be able to visit another theme park at any time during the park hours. So annual pass holders too. Okay.
Okay.
But you still have to go to the first park before hopping.
Right. Whatever you reserved in the morning.
Right. But remember, so there's the difference. Regular ticket, park hopper ticket, annual pass. So if you don't have a park hopper pass, you don't have to make a reservation. But if you have a park hopper pass, you have to make a reservation.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there's something else that's starting in January and is a new term that everybody is going to have to learn. It's called good to go dates. It starts in January. Don't know exactly when. They haven't said, but it's probably going to be right around mid-January, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. A good to go date. Let me see if I can explain this. Let me see.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That easy, huh?
Good to go dates involve dates in which you can visit a theme park without a theme park reservation. Basically, it's annual pass holders only. So if you're an annual pass holder, you can visit a theme park without
a reservation.
Yeah, but they have to be designated good to go dates.
Right. So it's not like those blackout dates that they have on certain annual passes, like Florida residents. So,
right. So my guess, Chris, is that they're going by historical attendance and they're saying, well, on January 28th, we usually had about 70% capacity. So that's a good to go date.
Right.
So, and again, you got to go to probably a special calendar in your My Disney Experience too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's getting really complicated.
Yeah, they can never make it easy anymore. It has to be super complicated just to, because they're trying to fill in those dates that they used to do with races, right? They would, this time in January, it's low attendance. Let's put in a race.
Right.
You know, this now they just kind of mess with the calendar and when you can come in and you know, make things easier on certain dates. And
it's really complicated. And I'll be speaking a little bit more to this and how to make things easy down the road. So, okay. So again, for now, visits through January 8th, park hopping is available from 2 o'clock until park closing, but you have to go to that first park. Okay. One more thing that I want to mention for those listening who are annual pass holders. This is really funny. Let's say you're an annual pass holder and you are deciding that you want to go to Epcot on Saturday. So you make your park reservation. Okay, I'm going to Epcot on Saturday. You cannot visit Magic Kingdom that Saturday after 2 o'clock. You are banned from
that's
Magic
the only
Kingdom.
Part, though.
Saturdays and Sundays after 2 o'clock, annual pass holders, you're out of luck. So
every pass holder?
Annual pass holders. If you're pass holder, you cannot go to the Magic Kingdom after 2 o'clock on Saturday or Sunday. Wow. Of course, if you made a reservation,
you made a park
reservation, that's a different story.
No, I know. I was thinking, like, you know, how they always do with the Florida residents, how they always block them out on certain dates about getting in. I thought maybe they were doing that just for them as opposed to all. But if I'm down there and I got a hotel at Disney, again, here we go, complicated again. And I have a park reservation, can I get into the Magic Kingdom on the weekends? As an annual pass holder, yes, I can't. But can I get in if I'm staying at the park? Staying at a hotel. That sounds even more complicated. And I know you don't have the answer to this because it's probably...
Ask the question again.
So I go down on a trip. I have an annual pass and I go, I'm staying at the yacht club and I have Epcot scheduled in the morning.
Okay.
Can I go at 2 o'clock to the Magic Kingdom? Even though I'm an annual pass holder, I am also a property guest, a hotel guest. Can I get in that way?
No, the designation is annual pass holder because you could be an annual pass holder. You could be a local annual pass holder.
Right.
You know,
but I'm wondering if they made, for the guests that are staying there on property, would they, they should make that distinction, I would think, but.
I am in full agreement with you. I think that this particular policy, it was put in place because of the number of annual pass holders who are local.
Right.
And most of the locals go to the Disney theme parks on Saturday or Sunday.
Well, they go to the Magic Kingdom. I think the Magic Kingdom is the one.
And so I don't see why being a Disney resort guest would be a bad thing for them to allow, those guests to go. But
yeah,
it's really,
but then again, that's why I always find with these announcements, there are always more questions than there are answers, when you get it and you go, but what about in this case? And what about in that case? And what happens here? And sometimes when you call them up, they're always giving you we're not sure. Let's look into this, type of answers. And so it's even complicated for the cast members.
It's very complicated. And moving on in the show, remember I said at the beginning, a lot of the things we're going to be talking about is intertwined. And so now we're going to move into our tips section. And I jotted down some things.
Oh, we're already into tips. All right.
Yeah. I thought, I don't know how our time is, but
it's fine.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about things have changed so much. I wanted to talk a little bit about purchasing tickets and making park reservations.
Right.
This is for the non-annual pass holders. And I thought if I just try to simplify it and try to explain step-by-step process to reduce stress, I thought it would be helpful. So when I wrote down in my notes here, I said, I strongly recommend that you do these steps, not just in the same day, but within the same hour, the steps I'm going to announce. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So here we have this, let's say we have a person who is deciding to go to Walt Disney World. Could be one person, could be a couple, could be a family. Here's the thing that's important. Before you purchase your tickets, you go to the park reservation calendar. Again, this assumes that you are a My Disney Experience account holder. And if you don't have that, you need to do that first. But you check the park reservation calendar to see if there is availability for your dates. So if you're going in the third week of in April, and I use that because that's a busy week, mm-hmm. you need to see, you know, which parks are available that week. And if they're all available that week, then you're in good stead, because now you can say, that looks right now, the parks are available. Let me buy tickets for that particular week.
Right.
And again, you may need to already have a My Disney Experience account to check park availability. There are three types of calendars on the My Disney Experience site. There's uh-huh. theme park tickets, there's select hotel resorts, and there's annual passes. So mm-hmm. the one that would be used by most people staying off the property or staying on the property could be theme park tickets or select hotel resorts. So each category has a different calendar. All right. I wrote down this note. I said, if you're planning to go when the kids have school vacation, then as soon as you know the dates for that school vacation, immediately check the park reservation calendar. Okay, so you've checked the calendar. The week you want to go, everything's available. Everything's green, okay?
Right.
So now you double check which parks you're going to go, which day. Here's where the spontaneity starts to fall apart, Chris, because now you have to say, okay, I'm going to go to this park this day, this park this day, this park that day. So my point is that as soon as you are sure that you can get into the parks you want to visit, then bang, you then buy your tickets. And here's another benefit from doing that. Not only do you get your tickets early so that you can begin to make park reservations, but here it is, you know, the last couple of days in October. If you buy your tickets now, you're going to freeze the price because you know they're going to go up in the spring.
Right.
So number one, you have tickets, which is your pathway to making park reservations. And number two, you're freezing the cost. And, you know, currently the range is just crazy. Depending upon time of year,
mm-hmm.
a one-day adult ticket is anywhere from $116 to, believe it or not, $201. And for a child, three to nine, it's between $110 to $195. And if you're going to add a park hopper to that, that's anywhere from $60 to $80. So that's a lot of money. A five-day park hopper, for instance, can range from $600 to $800. So the quicker you freeze these, the better off you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So you've purchased your tickets. You know what date you're going to go. You've right. checked the calendar, and you know that there's availability. Now you log into My Disney Experience, and you link the tickets to your account. Every ticket has a number on the back that you link it with your account. So now you're now setting the stage for making it now possible for you to make your park reservation. So then you go to the park reservation calendar again, checking it. Okay. Parks are okay. Now you start making your reservations. So that particular order is important because you don't want to buy tickets for, let's say someone wanted to go Christmas week. You know that Christmas week is probably already booked.
Right.
Why buy your tickets now? Oh, I can't go to the parks. Oh, well, I'll just hop around the resorts. No, you want to make sure that the parks are available. And that's the way it is these days. You know, it wasn't that way 5, 6, 7 years ago. And it just takes the spontaneity out. But I thought that was important. Now, I have another note here. I said, to make things easy on yourself, make your dining reservations based on your park reservations. When we went down this past summer, I looked at, you know, where we were going to be on certain days. And I used that to determine which restaurants we were going to be in. For instance, we were staying at, we were Epcot on a certain day. I made reservations for restaurants in that park. We were in the Magic Kingdom, same thing, or the resort, the monorail resort. I made a reservation there. The whole idea is that you want to save time, and you don't want to be stressed, and you're already locked in with these reservations and maybe Genie Plus stuff. And so make it easy on yourself by
but that also
where you're going to be.
That also says that you're going to plan to be in that park all day. Like, I mean, we usually, when we go, we make our reservation, whatever, we get in there early. So we go to the Magic Kingdom, we get in early. Usually by midday, we're exhausted and we want to go back to our hotel. And we always know that you could go to another park at that point. And it just seems weird to go back to the same park. So I don't know. I mean, there's two parts to this, right? I mean, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because like we've done that where we've had a Magic Kingdom reservation, but then had, you know, an Epcot restaurant at night, knowing that we could get into it. But if you're an annual pass holder and you're trying to get in the Magic Kingdom for a dining reservation on the weekends, you may not be able to get in. Like we said on our previously, is that annual pass holders can't transfer into the Magic Kingdom on the weekends. So there's all these little caveats, like you're saying, to each choice you make, each decision you make. Like even with our marathon weekend, we're trying to figure out what to do in terms of our dining and what we're going to do. We were originally planning not to even go into the parks because we were coming in on Thursday night. Friday, we were going to do the expo and then perhaps go down to Disney Springs. And then the races were on Saturday and Sunday. And we were going to take it easy the rest of the day. I was talking to Becky this past weekend when I was up in the Boston area, your neck of the woods. And she'd mentioned, oh, let me take care of you. We'll get you into the park. So I don't even know if we're going to be able to, but I have to just be careful about where we book our dining, because if we're in the wrong parks and it's the weekend, it's a mess. I don't know. So yes, but I do think we used to try to do that where you would book the dining reservation in the same park that you were. And it depends on how close your hotel is. Like we were in the yacht club. If we were going to Magic Kingdom, getting back and taking a bus all the way back and then resting for a while and then taking it all the way back to the Magic Kingdom, you know, that's 2 hours of your day because you know the bus system takes you along. But if you're in Hollywood Studios and you're in Yacht Club, well, it's a walk. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Same with Epcot. Animal Kingdom might be a nightmare. But then, you know, if you're on one of the monorail hotels and you're having a Magic Kingdom reservation, it shouldn't be a big problem at all. So you sort of had to factor in that stuff.
You end up making a spreadsheet. That's what I did, Chris. You know, so for instance, we were at the Dolphin. And while we were staying at the Dolphin, I said, let's make reservations at Mama Melrose because we knew we were going to be in the studios on an afternoon or early afternoon or whatever, or maybe morning, right around lunchtime. So I did that. If you happen to be staying at a resort that has a restaurant that you would like to, you know, visit, then that's a little bit easier. But you're absolutely right. You have to think about, okay, where am I going to be in? So
that's why you need a scientist, a mathematician like Michelle, who can look at all these and make a full study about this.
Well, think about, I wonder if some enterprising young coder will put together some kind of an artificial intelligence app that will let you do this. But, you know, you really have to invest some time to plan everything because time is money. This is not a cheap vacation.
Yeah,
you want to be able to do the things you want. And, you know, we're not even talking about Genie Plus or Lightning Lanes. Or
no, this is just like a dining reservation and stuff. But
yeah, so you
it's definitely like those, like the old basic computer programming stuff. It was like, if this, then that. So like if you're staying at a monorail hotel, then you want to go to, you know, the Magic Kingdom for dinner. Then you must, you know, like there's always these if thens to get you to the right choice because each day is going to be different depending on where you're staying and where you want to eat.
Boolean, I guess that's Boolean logic. It's just very, I think it takes away from the fun of the vacation, but
totally.
But if you are a young family and you can't afford to go every 2 years or every year or whatever, and it's your first and only trip, you want to think about what you want to do while you're down there, and you have to really plan. So, so I think it's important to do that.
Get a good travel agency. I know I always mentioned Becky and MEI Mouse Fan. Mm-hmm. But you know, like it was interesting, just totally off topic, but similar. Mm-hmm. we were up in Boston this weekend. I was up in, it was called CommerCon. It was about a convention that was for autistic people and people with auditory issues and sensory issues. Beautiful place. And I was talking to one of the guy that was running it, and he had said that he was planning a Disney World trip. He had booked the flight, but not the hotel. And Becky was with me there at the show. And I said, oh, you need someone like her. And he ran over to her, and she was like right on it. She was going to help him because his son is autistic. And they can help make those plans. So always try to find somebody, a travel agency or someone that can help you with this stuff, because it really has become so complicated that doing it on your own, you're just going to get frustrated and angry.
I, always think, I'm glad I'm not a travel agent, because they really earn their money now, because they not only have to do whatever they can to please their clients, but they have to do some training, because after a while, it's like, you need to do this and you need to be aware of that. So
it's rough. And that's why you probably usually need somebody to help you with this stuff. But
yeah,
some people want to do it on their own, and they enjoy doing this on their own, and they're welcome to do it. I just find it has become so complicated. I don't have the time to sort of make sure that I get all my, T's crossed and my I's dotted, because, we're busy.
I think that what you have to do is you have to know as soon as you know when you would like to go, and just say, I'm going to block 1 hour of my time today, and I'm going to find out what parks are available. I'm going to get my tickets, unless you're an annual pass holder. And annual pass holders are blocked out of. Like, we can't go the last 2 weeks in December. So, and then make your reservations, and then you'll be done with it. Of course, you also have to check availability of the hotel you'd want to stay in too. So it's really, really a very complicated process. I have one more tip, Chris, before we sign off.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this many times before on other podcasts and talking with people, but, and actually this was something that, was put in several books that I contributed to. Mm-hmm. And it has something to do with the parties that are held down there, which are separate event tickets. It's very important that when you decide to go to one of these parties, that you make the best use of your time, because you are really spending a lot of money for 3, 4, maybe 5 hours of your time. So it doesn't matter if it's Mickey's Not So Scary, Mickey's Very Merry, Jollywood Nights, the after hours. I think you need to, again, plan what you're going to do. And what I've told many people is that if you're going to go to a party the day before or 2 days before, go to City Hall, go to the customer services, the guest services, and say, could I have a brochure for the party? You take that brochure back the day before, you take a look at the timing of things, and you plan how you're going to use your night. And the reason why I say that is that if you don't, then you're going to possibly miss out on something and not get the most out of your ticket. Fireworks on party nights are not necessarily the same as every night. So for instance, if you're used to fireworks at 9 o'clock in Magic Kingdom, well, guess what? For Not So Scary, it's probably 9:30 or whatever. So it's important for people to keep that in mind. The tickets are very, very expensive. I also wanted to make mention that for the parties, there are special events that, you want to underline. You want to make sure that you know, when is the parade? When is this happening? When is that show happening? I don't know if it's worth going on attractions during those party nights. Yeah. We went to Not So Scary, and Michelle almost missed the Boo to You parade because she went on Tron. She loves Tron, but
you make choices. You if that's more important to you, then you go on Tron.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can go on Tron during the day too, but
well, probably
you don't
less
get
crowds.
To see Boo to You every day. Yeah,
true.
Yeah. It's crowded even on even on nights. There was one time where it wasn't crowded. We went with some friends back in 1992, and I said to them, "There are two parades at night. There's one at 7, and there's one at 10. At 7 o'clock." You go here, and I sent them to Big Thunder and Splash Mountain, because at that point, And that during that year, there was no walkway. So once the parade started, people who wanted to go to Splash, who wanted to go to Big Thunder, could not.
Yeah.
They rode Big Thunder and Splash 8 times a piece. I think they just had a great time.
Right.
But, you know, again, take note of the parades. And finally, you know, if you're going to a party, eat a late lunch or an early dinner. Don't plan on eating while you're in the parks. And I don't even know if the restaurants are going to be open most of the time during these parties, but it's you're spending a lot of money. You're spending, I don't know, as much as $40-$50 an hour to be in the park. Whereas if you had a day, you know, you're paying maybe $15 an hour. Hmm. So just things. And it all boils down, Chris, to timing and money. And that's what the show is all about.
Excellent. Well, that puts a pin in it. So I hope those little tips help. They help me. I got to really think about what I'm going to do when I go down there in January. So, but thank you, Michael. On behalf of Michael, I am Chris Eliopoulos, and we will see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.